Aloha and welcome to Dolphinville Radio. This is a place where we're going to talk dolphin and play in these cyber waves with a conscious intention to expand into joy. We're gathering here to celebrate today. I've got guest Joan Ocean, and we're going to have a live interview that will bring you to the brink of your chair. Many of us have come to the Big Island because we felt a calling to be close to the dolphins and whales in this particular area that happens to lie on 19.5 degrees of latitude. That's a significant upwelling electromagnetic energy point in the geo-hyperdimensional physics of our planet. Yes, this is indeed a pulse point coming right out of the Big Island of Hawaii, and many would agree it's a potential pulse point of light here in this magical, mystical place we all love to consider paradise of ancient Lemurian heritage. Many of us have actually experienced multidimensional awarenesses as a result of being here, and in gentle and open proximity of dolphins and whales. Almost everyone has experienced a profound sense of wonderment and sensations of deep love from the cetaceans that have moved us to the very core. They present a consciousness of acceptance and connectivity to anyone open to the experience, and have always reflected unconditional love to our emotional bodies. The cetaceans, dolphins and whales, are great masters of existence and exquisite teachers to anyone who may open their hearts and minds to another level of being. So here at Dolphinville, we're striving to become a conscious community of people who are actively participating in a new way of being and thinking. Towards this end, we gather together in body and spirit to share our mutual love for the dolphins and whales and the whole planet ocean that cradles us with her fluidity. My hope is that we might focus our attention and direct our energy beacon from this dynamic portal and pulse point to celebrate our love and commitment to a higher vibration of intentional being and participate in whatever way possible from wherever we are in this beautiful etheric physical plane. I sincerely believe it's something that affects us all, and I'm asking each of you to contribute with your thoughts and deeds to help promote this wave of light energy, projecting it into our fragile atmosphere. Thanks for being here, and we're going to have a nice show today. We're actually entertaining one of the primary members of Dolphinville here, Joan Ocean. And I will get to Joan's interesting comments about her being here, but first I wanted to bring your attention to the sponsors who are bringing this program to you. We are very fortunate to have Photon.net hosting this particular broadcast today, and they've been very generous with their donation of time and energy to make this happen. Other donations have come from different people in the community, and we certainly appreciate that. And even on dolphinville.com, which is our website, we have a store site, a gift store, which we would encourage everybody to participate in, because some of the proceeds from that do come to the Dolphinville. So without further ado, in that gift store, you can find different CDs by different artists. Joan Ocean's products will be on the website. Artist Jean-Luc Bozzoli. We have gallery images of his work, as well as Andrew Annenberg and Alex Gray, to name a few. Photos by Lisa Denning and Doug Perrine. And also brand new on Dolphinville gift store, we have Bliss Caps, new DVDs, and Globus. I encourage you all to check it out. Well, Photon, as you know, is an internet service provider, and they have a possibility of 28,000 different outlets for direct internet service. It's easy to get to Photon.net because they provide all these dial-ups across the United States and Hawaii, and we're asking you to please visit Photon.net on the web, www.photon.net. Anyone listening to this broadcast today is invited to receive a free setup and free first month of web hosting service or national internet access on photon.net. Just do the referral code Joan Ocean when signing up, and your first month is free. Sounds good, huh? All right, without further ado, I want to introduce you now to one of my favorite people, somebody who I've known for the last 6 years. She was the one responsible for bringing me here to Dolphinville. And that is Joan Ocean. Joan has been living here since 1988, and in addition to being an ocean person, she has a master's degree in psychology. She's an author, seminar and play shop facilitator, a non-traditional shaman researcher and into dolphins, communicator, and one might say a channeler of multidimensional information. She's formed the Dolphin Connection in 1984 with artist and visionary Jean-Luc Bozzoli, and she has been learning directly from the dolphins since that time. Even before that, she was introduced to the idea of cetacean consciousness through Dr. John Lilly, somebody who we refer to as the father of cetacean communication. Back in 1997, she became friends with Dr. Lilly and learned about the dolphins from him. She's heard many recordings of dolphin sounds, sounds that spoke directly to her inner awareness over the years. And during the 80s, she was working to bring that information out to the public at large. And then in the 90s, she became kind of a public figure. She was appeared on different television and radio shows. The Art Bell Show featured Joan with an interview, as well as the CBS 48 Hours had a segment that featured Joan as well, as many international television and radio shows. She's had the pleasure of swimming with dolphins all over the planet. The pink dolphins from the Amazon River in Peru, the bottlenose dolphins in India and in Monkey Mia, pantropic spotted dolphins from the Dominican Republic, and pilot melonhead whales from the Canary Islands, all over South China Sea, Indonesia, the Red Sea in Egypt, in Canada, California, the Yucatan, of course right here in Hawaii, and as far away as the Azores and off the coast of Portugal. She has many, many years of experience with these, and in Hawaii, of course, hooks up very closely with the many species that we have here. She's a psychologist with advanced degrees in California State University. She feels that her counseling skills of empathy, reflective listening, and intuition are essential skills for communicating with dolphins and whales. And now, without further ado, welcome, Joan, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Douglas. How nice. It's really wonderful to be here, to be in beautiful Hawaii, as always. The birds are singing. It's still daylight over here. As I sit here in the studio of Photon.net, and Randy, the president of Photon.net, is here, and Douglas, the webmaster and the radio host.
My hosting name, Joan, will be Dolphin Us.
Oh, Dolphin Us? Oh, okay, Dolphin Us. That's great. Well, we've been friends for a long time, and this is so exciting that we can do this together. I'm especially happy to think about so many of my friends listening in, and that we have this wonderful opportunity to share information with each other, really from here extending out to all over the world. Right now as I sit here, there's a huge white cloud over us. There have been a lot of these clouds all week. We call them cloud ships. Tuesday there were so many. There was a huge big mothership, and then a lot of smaller ones all around it. I know a number of people were able to take pictures. So it seems that our friends from other places are very nearby right now and very excited also about all of us joining our energies together for this time, afternoon here, evening there. So I welcome everyone. It's just wonderful. One reason why it seemed that now was the time to do this, and why I really wanted to do a radio broadcast, was really because over the last 6 months, the contacts with civilizations beyond Earth's reality, beyond the Earth, have been making their presence known more than ever. And it seems that something very big is about to happen. And it's time for all of us to gather together and really to do the work that we came here to do. That we came here on Earth to do. And I know many of you will understand when I say I talk with so many of you who are wondering, what is my purpose? Why are you here? And when can you move into action? All of you, such beautiful souls who know that you've come here to help and help the planet and help humanity, but still not sure exactly how you can do that. And I think now it's becoming very clear for many of us. So it's a very exciting time. As many of you know, my organization is named the Dolphin Connection. And I've always understood that the connection, the word connection, is really about the dolphin's ability to access and connect with many different dimensions and realities. And they've demonstrated this to me over and over again. The dolphins and the whales are a different species than the humans on Earth, and they're preparing us for connecting with many other people and planes of existence. So you might ask, how are they doing this? Well, really, they're just doing it, connecting us all together just by being themselves. As you know, they're very intelligent, cooperative, altruistic. They're very aware. They live in the present moment. Multidimensional shapeshifters. And very consciously available to us as we are with them on many levels. And of course, they live in a different environment than we do on Earth. They live in the ocean. And they look differently than we do. And they communicate with tones. And they seem to have a very deep, deep understanding of the consciousness of one. So when they're communicating with me, or when they speak to me, they always use the word we, saying things like, we feel this, or we are now approaching the bay, or we will take you to another reality where Earth exists simultaneously with your own reality. And so they think of themselves always as a group, as a pod, and it's what I've named pod mind, otherwise called group mind. And it's about the message of one being the message of all. And with the dolphins and the whales, they have no secrets. They have no hidden agendas. Now, isn't that nice? And whatever any one of them knows, they all know. It's totally open and trusting. And the basis of their society is love and kindness and taking care of each other. The entire pod is in agreement with this lifestyle. And it takes precedence over everything else. So they're really good examples for us, and I think that's one reason why people enjoy swimming with them so much. So what they're showing us is the reality of lifestyles and spiritual ways of living that exist in their society and in other societies and in other locations. And so this is not just a utopian dream. These other places and people and races exist. And all of us on Earth can communicate with them. So it's useful for us because these other civilizations have many, many helpful ideas that we can incorporate to improve our personal lives on Earth for our children and the animals and all people. And I'm very interested in this.
So tell me about your first adventures swimming with the dolphins and whales. That sounds like an interesting beginning. Goes back to when, the 1980s?
Yeah, let's see, 1984, my first contact was actually with a whale, with a California gray whale. And it was off of British Columbia, Canada. And I was staying there for a month on an island. And this whale wasn't really supposed to be there. We were up there to see the orca whales, the big black and white ones, and this California gray whale came along. And it came very close to shore, and I was standing there on the shore at that time and wondering what I was going to do on this deserted island for a month when it was so cold, the sun wasn't shining, it was damp and wet and big logs on the beach, and I had to live in a tent, which now I love, but at that time I didn't, and feeling a little down, I must admit. Even my batteries weren't working anymore on my flashlight, and I'd only been there 2 days, so all of a sudden I saw this big thing in the water. I thought, what is that? So it came very close to shore, and later I found out they do that, that they like to roll over on the rocks there in the shallow water and scratch their backs a bit. And so this whale came over and so close that his or her eye was above water and made contact with me, and I looked into the eye of that whale, and that whale looked back at me, and I just felt the most beautiful feeling coming over me. It was just waves and waves of love, so that I couldn't even think. I was so amazed to feel that feeling. And as it was coming to me, I began to experience what it meant to be a being that lived in the ocean. And I felt the whale's love of the ocean. And all of that love came over me. And I felt the whale's love for humanity and for Earth. And the information or the vibrations kept coming more and more to the point where I really couldn't take any more. It was like I thought I was going to disintegrate or melt. And I just kind of transmitted to the whale, oh, stop, that's all I can take. And the minute I did, it stopped, just like that. The whale stopped sending me this frequency. And because it happened like that, that was when I realized that the whale could understand what I was thinking and what I was feeling, and that the whale responded. So that was really my first communication with the whale.
You coined a phrase later called telepathy. Would you characterize that experience as a telepathic experience?
Yeah, that's right. Because my empathy, I felt then a lot of love for the whale, and the whale obviously was feeling that for me. And yet we were communicating telepathically, but using empathy.
So that would be a gateway to the communication with the cetaceans through the empathy.
Right, yeah. I find that's really an important way to make contact, is through deep feelings of really caring for your environment and for them.
I wanted to touch one more point. You said that you felt now, more than ever, the need to communicate this information out. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. I'd like to say, tell a little bit about the background. For the past 15 years, I've had gatherings for people who are interested in discussing their curiosity and awareness of extraterrestrial civilizations and our relatives really living on other planets. And it was really back in 1988 when I decided to hold a one-day seminar in a meeting room in a hotel in Waikiki, and I called the gathering ETs and Us. And I had just moved there. Jean-Luc and I had just moved to Hawaii, to Oahu. And I didn't really know anyone there, so I thought this is a good way to get to know my kind of people, so to speak. So I put out the flyers, and I put them all around town, and I put an ad in the paper. And on the day that we were to meet, 22 people showed up, and we had this great day of sharing our experiences and talking to each other and forming new friendships, and really felt like we were a group of kindred souls. And so since then, really over the years, I've continued to offer gatherings to share what we know. And I found that these gatherings are really helpful. And of course, the dolphins and whales expedite that. They really put us into that higher frequency. And the more people get together in groups, it's like the more they can remember. And more information comes out about who we really are. So it's very powerful. And as you know, Douglas, my seminars with the topic of extraterrestrials, like the beginning years, it didn't draw a lot of people. They would have small attendance, like 5 or 6 people. And I think partly because it was really hard for people to get away from the realization that this subject was laughed at and really ridiculed. And it was hard for people to get in touch with what was their connection with this subject, and were there really any people living on other planets, and were they really able to communicate with them? And it was hard to overcome that programming that we all grew up with, because it was very subtle and yet overwhelming, and even to this day, many people are still affected by it. But this is also a path that the dolphins and whales have chosen, to really help us all to look at the the bigness, the largeness of the universe and all that's out there, and how we can move into the unknown and learn about these other species, all of them. So the dolphins had to deal with, would the human race make the connection between the loving cetaceans in the sea and the same types of civilizations on nearby planets? And even before that, would people even accept that, that cetaceans were intelligent to start with? So I kind of think it's, I can think back and imagine the great kind of galactic minds at work thinking of ways to help humanity to move into this evolutionary phase of understanding that we're a part of the greater whole and that we can be in contact with very wise and loving beings. And that we're very well loved and valued, really, by these other civilizations, like the whales and the ETs.
Well, let me just cut in here real quick. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up John Lilly again, only because John seemed for years to use the dolphins as a perfect example of an alien species that was right here on planet Earth. So in a way, you're suggesting, as he is, that should we get acquainted with another intelligent species right here in our own backyard, it would be much easier for us to deal with the idea that there may be even more intelligent species outside of our planetary sphere. Is that right?
Right, yeah. He was really the pioneer in that. And I know when I first met him, he was interested in talking about dolphins all the time, and I wasn't really so interested in dolphins. This was back in, like, 1977. And I had the name Ocean, but I didn't just make the connection somehow.
How did that come about?
I don't know. I just liked the name, and I just chose it, you know. But that was back 9 years before. That was back early 1970s. So yeah, I met John Lilly, and really I met him because I had read a little flyer that said he was going to talk about his out-of-body experiences. And I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting to me. You know, I'm a double air sign, you know, Libra and all. So I like that out-of-body stuff. And then when I got to see him, it was a seminar in Montana, of all places. All he talked about was dolphins. And he played their sounds on recordings that had loudspeakers going out over all the hills of Montana. So every place you walked, they were there. The sounds were there. And I think they really did speak to me in some way. You know, they touched me deeply without my realizing it.
But you had an active interest in extraterrestrial kinds of subject matter even before then. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, my contact with beings off planet came before the dolphins. I used to go to a place called Esalen Institute in Big Sur, and John Lilly was often there, and Gregory Bateson, and wonderful people from that time. Dick Price was there then, and we would just sit, and they would sit and talk about the most amazing experiences and topics of conversation, and I would get to sit in. But it was there at Esalen that I met a woman who was channeling a group of beings who, for our sake, identified themselves as the Nine. And they said that they were as bright as the light of Sirius. So then we always said they were from Sirius. But what happened when she was channeling, and the way this channel would receive their information there at Big Sur, was that she was writing it. She would do automatic writing very quickly on a pad of paper. But what started happening to me was that while she was sitting there writing, I was getting it directly. Whether I was getting it from them or through her, I'm not sure, but she was aware of that. So we became really good friends, and there was a period of time when I lived in Florida then. I went back to Florida, and I just kept receiving information from the Nine and from these beings that we related to Sirius. And it was only later, it was in 1984, when the dolphins first came in a meditation, and their frequency, their energy field, was so similar to the ones from Sirius or from the Nine that I questioned them if they were also from Sirius. And I felt, of course, very comfortable with them because I'd been used to interacting with that field of energy already.
Do you feel the dolphins then have been helping to prepare us vibrationally by being in the water with them for these higher frequencies of intelligent information.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They are getting us ready, and, you know, just by being with them, I mean, they are already in contact with those frequencies all the time. They're living it. Their essence is one of so much love. And when we swim alongside them, when they swim alongside us, we remember, I think, who we are, and we make contact with our own essence of love. And I think that's why people are often so moved by the experience. I mean, it's really amazing when you think of it that people all over the world love dolphins. You know, it's totally irrational.
Well, more and more seem to be adding to the ranks every day.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, sharks are nice, too. You know, and there's lots of fish and manta rays and eels. There's a lot of things in the ocean.
No one's done the killer dolphin movie yet, I guess. That's why we still like them.
But everybody loves the dolphins. And you have to look at that, and why is that? And it's because the dolphins themselves are sending out who they are. They're sending that frequency out all around the planet to people. Whether you live in Kansas or in the Yucatan or wherever you are, in any country, in any place, the dolphin frequencies can reach you. And people are remembering. I often share the story that when all of us light workers were still living back in our other planes of existence or other planets, and then we decided, well, look at that one little planet floating down there, that planet Earth, its color is looking kind of gray. I think it needs a little bit of help. So we all kind of volunteered to come down and help. And we were told then that when the time came, you know, we would live on the planet unidentified. We would merge with the human race and be an Earthling. And when the time came for us to really express who we are, then we would be given symbols and signs so that we would know it was time. And those symbols were things such as the 11-11 and also the crop circles, and also that the dolphins and whales would begin swimming close to shore and really leaping out of the water and making themselves obvious, calling people into the ocean to be with them. And people realize that this is a very joyful, happy time because of that.
This is a phenomenon that we are particularly enjoy here on the South Kona coast of the Big Island, where the dolphins and the whales have been coming in. They've been entertaining people, so to speak, inviting them into the water with them to enjoy these elevated frequencies. Well, we're getting ready to take a short break here, take a couple of breaths, and as we listen to the sounds of Dr. John Lilly from an album called The Calling by Kutera and Raphael. So we'll be back after a short interlude here.
Communication. The largest brains on this planet are in the ocean.
Dream.
The ocean. Communication with the whales and the dolphins. It's the greatest achievement that the human race can aspire to. In the province of dream time, there are no limits. The mind is infinite. Communication. Dream time. In the province of the mind, what one believes to be true either is true or becomes true within certain limits.
Okay, we're back. Dolphinville Live, Kona Coast of the Big Island of Hawaii. We're broadcasting out to the whole internet all over the planet right now, and anybody who happens to be listening, we're inviting you to go ahead and send in questions if you have any that come to mind for Joan. A little bit later in the program, we'll go ahead and fire some of those at her. The way to send in your questions is to go ahead and address an email to broadcast@dolphinville.com. We'll be able to pick it up here live in the studio and relate it directly to Joan. I want to thank Randy again from photon.net, who's engineering this. He's like the operator from the Matrix. He's got several things going on at one time. And I'm very grateful for his assistance and certainly his generous donation of time with the photon.net. So continuing on with Joan Ocean. Joan, it's fascinating everything that you're saying, and I'm sure that people who know you have heard some of this information before, but we're hopefully addressing this to some people who are new to this information. Perhaps you can lead into some of the communications with dolphins, because I've often heard you refer to using human sonar to communicate with the dolphins. What do you mean by that, and how does that work?
Right, well, I often think of the dolphins as having cellular phones, actually. We talk about how they can communicate through all the cells of their body. There's the cells of their bodies have intelligence, and it's interesting because now some of the work being done with donor recipient and donor organs for people, and they're finding that some of the recipients of these organs, the consciousness or intelligence seems to remain in the cells of these organs, and the recipient has some behaviors of the original donor. And there's work being done on that, and people have contacted me about that because of what I've written about the dolphin's cellular intelligence. And it's just very interesting to me, like, and for all of us who live here, really, who are with the dolphins day after day after day and are in contact with them, and how we can see so often how the dolphins read our mind, read our frequency, read the intelligence in our cells. I was thinking about just the other day, I was out on a small boat with a family. It was just a little six-seater boat, and this family was a mom and dad and two girls, age 8 and 5, and they really wanted to see the dolphins so much, and a loving, beautiful family. And as luck would have it, it was a bit choppy that day. Usually it's very calm here in Hawaii, but on that day those trade winds were acting up and we had waves and wavy water. And so we were able to communicate with other boat captains that were out, and we were on our way to visit with the dolphins. However, the waves were so high that we decided to stop and just kind of tuck our boat into a little shallow place and snorkel a little bit and be in this really beautiful place with the fish. And there was actually a eagle ray there, a spotted eagle ray, and eels and turtles. And we all got out and got in the water. And these little girls were really good swimmers. They had wetsuits that fit them. And even the five-year-old, the mask and snorkel, and she was a little fish in the water. And so we're having a great time. And all of a sudden, I heard the sounds of the dolphins. Now, this was unbelievable to me because we were just right up against the shore. And we were lined up with a bunch of other boats, like the Body Glove and others that were all in a line. And everyone snorkeling there. And we were the last boat. And I heard the sounds. I looked up, and sure enough, there were all the fins coming toward us. This whole group of dolphins. They came right over. We were like in 10 to 20 feet of water, that's all. And they swam, 26 of them came over, so gently, so quietly with these children. And the girls were, the little ones, they were swimming so fast, their little feet going as fast as they could go, and they looked like wind-up toys. But the dolphins were so gentle with them and diving and looking up at them and stayed with us really the entire morning in that little area of the bay. Now, I found out later the dolphins were nowhere else up and down the whole coast. So to me, and this happens repeatedly, the children, their desire to be with them, their natural love, the enthusiasm and excitement, the dolphins pick up on that and understand that. So they're hearing our transmissions as well as sending information to us.
How would you recommend if somebody wanted to establish telepathic communication with dolphins if they go about it?
Well, I can tell you what I do, especially when I'm out on a boat. I'm on the boat and we're going along in the ocean, going along the coast, and I'm thinking of the dolphins a lot. And so to let them know that I'm there, and they always, of course, have free choice whether they want to come or not. They're free swimming dolphins. I send out actually a beam of light from my third eye, and it's really like using my sonar. You know, they have their sonar in the melon there on the top of their head. Well, we do too. So I use mine. I send out this beam of light out into the ocean. And then
is that like an imagined beam of light?
Well, I focus on sending it, and I can feel an energy coming out of my third eye. So some people who can see energy can see it. I don't see it, but I can feel it. I'm more a feeling person. So I send that, and then, in addition to that, I send a beam of light from my heart, because I know that heart connection is so important. The sonar I use to kind of scan the water to locate where they are. And then the beam of light from the heart triangulates with that. They connect together between the third eye and the heart, going out to the dolphins. And there's one other part, though, that's essential, that has to go with it, at least for me.
Yeah.
At least for me. And that is the feeling behind it. Because if it's just in your head, if you're just thinking about it, if you're just wanting it, well, it may or may not happen. But if... For me, I picture the dolphins swimming next to me, and when I picture that and recall that, I feel the love in my heart, and then that love that I feel for them goes out to them into the water, and that's what I believe they pick up, and that's what they respond to, and they will then feel that, they'll experience it in the water, they really get to know my entire frequency because I'm sending it out, they know who I am. And then if they choose to, they'll follow that beam of light back to where I am, where we are as a group.
Like a frequency signature that you're sending out, mm-hmm. like a signature whistle that we might be able to hear from them.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so everybody has this special signature that they can send and receive from the dolphins as well?
Right, and that's, well, that particular way is when you want to be with them physically. But, of course, there's other ways to communicate with them if you're meditating. And it's very similar in some ways that you go into a deep meditative state and become very quiet and then surround yourself with a light, whichever you prefer, golden light, white light, pink light, the one that you resonate with the most to go into a very deep and loving space.
I'm turquoise.
Is that what it is?
That's mine.
Okay, turquoise. I like aqua better. But then I, again, think about the dolphins, focus on them, and I ask them to come because I think the asking is something the human race in general needs to practice a little more, just to ask for it. You know, we're all so independent. We don't usually ask for assistance or help too often. And yet, they respond to that very quickly.
Sort of like asking your angels, as the saying goes.
That's right, yeah.
Well, so, let's go back more towards these impulses that have led us off planet here. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be interested to know more of these kinds of information. And in the shows that we'll be following, we hope to be able to broadcast again next week and the following week. We're going to get more into depth with some of these interesting subjects. And so for the time being, we're just trying to play along with this information as it's coming through, pass it along to you as a listener, and just share some of the things that are about us. The people who live here in Dolphinville have been a community of people that have become friends because we have a common love and respect for the dolphins and whales. Right now, we've counted approximately 200 of us. We live here in separate homes along a 30-mile stretch of the Kona Coast, and we're connected to each other in spirit. And many of us live here have felt this calling by the dolphins, and we've become like a family who swim and we meditate and work together. I think pervading the whole thing is the aloha spirit, which we're sharing with this wonderful place, the ancient and present Hawaiian people, who merges with our love for the dolphins, and it's absorbed right to the very fiber of our being. Their love and respect for nature, the ocean, and the elders, it's been communicated to us, and we live together on this beautiful island in the sun with that kind of attitude. I know swimming among the dolphins day after day, we're in deep communication with them. And due to this close contact, we have developed a lifestyle and many lifestyles that are individual and yet very fulfilling. We seek harmony. We're in communication with nature. We're humanitarian, cooperative with one another. We have cooperative projects. We live in health, happiness. We have music and meditations together. Creativity and higher consciousness is shared by all who want to participate. And I think we enjoy sharing the messages of the dolphins with one another. And this Hawaiian dolphin-human relationship is really quite unique in the world. In fact, I don't know of any other place. You hear about places like in Australia, like Monkey Mia, or in a place southern Florida, or in the Bahamas, or the Azores, where people are contacting. But really, this is quite unique. I don't know of any place where the contact is quite so varied and common as people going down and having almost a daily experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really traveled to many places around the world and swam with dolphins and whales in different locations. But what is unique here is that it's a community of people swimming day after day with the same dolphins, and the dolphins increasing in number, even the spotted dolphins now coming to join people, and the bottlenose on occasion too. The spotted dolphins started coming in on March 9th, 1999. I'll never remember that. I'll never forget that date, because it was so wonderful to see another species come and join us and have fun with us too. But, yes, I did want to say some more about the reasons really why I felt it was important to have this broadcast right now. And it does relate to what the dolphins have been showing us, that there are these other beings and that it will be of benefit to planet Earth for us to make contact with them. In August of this year, I had a seminar, and it was different. It was 2 weeks long. And really, I had been, you could say, guided to make it 2 weeks long. And I liked that idea very much, because in other seminars that were only 1 week, it seems like you're just about getting really close to each other, and you're having such a good time, and you don't want to part from each other, and then the seminar's over. So it was very nice to have a two-week seminar. And this one was really about making contact with extraterrestrial civilizations and having time to do it. We met at the Sky Ranch so that we would have a private and quiet setting to do that contact. And it was very successful, really. We experienced many things as a group. There were 44 people that showed up, as compared to some of the ones in past years that had small numbers. And we experienced the ET ships and healings and wonderful wisdom and new spiritual pathways. And this is all written up in detail on my website. But what happened then was, after that, I was really longing for continued contact, you know, with a group of people and with our friends, the ETs, and I wanted it to continue. And so then we started doing once a month gatherings for that purpose, the ET contact group here in Kona, on the 22nd of each month. And what I found, it's very interesting that with these groups, it was really only for people who were interested in the subject matter. And so that way, it makes the intention very strong. And I find that's important, that when you're sitting in a circle, and then we ask the ETs to come in, and we move into a meditative space, if everyone is really open to that possibility and aware, ideally they're aware of who they are as an ET themselves, we have very powerful interactions. Sometimes people come just for curiosity, you know, and then they realize, oh, I'm meant to be here and there's a reason I'm here. But the most powerful gathering is when people are all there by choice. And so I felt that this radio broadcast would be ideal in that way. You know, if people don't like this subject matter, they can just turn it off. But everyone else who tunes in and stays with us creates a field of energy. And I really do feel that the ETs, the loving ETs that we are in contact with, do plan to make their presence known on the planet. And for many of you who have read their latest transmission that was sent to people simultaneously all over the world, I received it in October, someone else in September, someone else in November, and people have been emailing it to me, the exact same information. And they have said that as soon as we sincerely say yes from our hearts, they intend to make their presence known. Now, speaking of vibrational frequencies, they are here already, but we just don't see them yet. They know how to work with invisibility or shields around the ships, or however you prefer to understand it, but they can be seen or not seen at any time. So I felt that this might be a good opportunity that we would continue to have these broadcasts every Monday afternoon and evening, depending on where you are. And at some point, we would all together decide to say yes to their presence and experience them fully right over the radio broadcast. So that really is one of the important reasons why I wanted us to begin this. And thank you so much, Douglas, for being willing to do this and to just be the wonderful host for it.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I was very happy that you've agreed to share this information with the studio or with the audience that might be participating. And as some of you may know, if you become a member of DolphinVille.com, it's free, by the way, to become a member, you'll be able to access this radio broadcast and others in the future through the archival files. So I'm encouraging everybody who's listening to this to go ahead and be supportive, become a member. You'll be able to share in the information stream as it's coming out. And hopefully in the weeks to come, Joan will be able to share more detailed information, as well as some of the guests who from people who live here in the community, because we have a fascinating group of people who have been drawn here. So, Joan, I'd just like to ask you another question with regards to communication and how the dolphins seem to communicate with us holographically. And I think that's really fascinating. A lot of people don't quite know what that means. I know I have my impression of this, and maybe you can explain that a little bit and how maybe the ET connection also would relate to that type of communication with us.
Right. Yes, they are, again, preparing us by letting us experience it with them in the ocean. And the holographic communication is just very different from the way we communicate linearly. Of course, our linear communication entails things such as asking a question and then receiving an answer and then asking the next question or speaking back and forth and communicating that way with each other. But when the dolphins communicate, they can send, using their acoustics or their vibrational frequencies or sonar, an entire picture, an entire image, all at one time. You get it like in one quick shot immediately. So you'll get the feelings, you'll get the colors, you'll get the people, you'll get the words, you'll get the sound, you'll get the sense, all the different senses. And the whole piece is not only what you can visualize with your inner eyes, but also it has inherent in it a lot of information about past, future, information around it. So I've once referred to that as like being surrounded in a sphere of knowledge. That's what it feels like to me. They send a transmission, and it completely surrounds me, and I'm immersed in it. And sometimes we say it's being downloaded into our system. And even if we're not fully aware of everything that we've received in the moment, as time goes on, we find ourselves saying things that we didn't know we knew, or we're writing things down, or doing our artwork, or dance, or however we're expressing creatively, and this information is coming out.
Mm-hmm. And you think the extraterrestrial influences are coming in a similar fashion?
Yes, I find communicating with them is very similar. They send so much information. I'll bring up a subject, and then a lot of information will come in. I was thinking a lot about to share with people today about the vibrational frequencies of dolphins and whales. And really, how I encourage people, as you're listening to this piece here, to think about how it might apply to you. You know, just anything I say, look in your own history, so to speak, and see if any of these words are true for you also. The dolphins are known to have signature sounds. That's what researchers call it, that they have a name, so to speak. There's a certain sound that represents them, and other dolphins can kind of call them by that sound. Well, we actually all have that. We have a hum. Our body hums. And everyone has a different sound, a different hum.
Could you characterize that as almost saying a heartbeat with blood flow would create a certain hum?
Well, no, I think it has more to do with our thoughts, our feelings, our frequency, and our physical matter even. I wanted to share a little bit about this because I think it's really fascinating. It's like every human, and the dolphins can pick this up, emits a signature sound, which reveals our psychological and our physiological state, our state of well-being or not well-being, whatever we're experiencing at the time.
It's our vibes, in other words.
Yeah, it's our vibes. And, you know, people are working with this now. They're doing healing with sound work. It's wonderful, very successful, because the sounds that are emitted from us are related to musical notes. And so, of course, if there's any note that you might be missing, that could relate to experiences you're having in your life where perhaps things are not moving as smoothly as you'd like, or you know, perhaps you're not experiencing abundance, or perhaps you're having health challenges. So the technicians who are working with this, and that's like Sherry Edwards in the United States, and Elaine Thompson, she's in England, and a number of other people are actually helping people with this. Well, what we found is that when people aren't feeling well, usually some notes are missing. And so the missing notes in the voice are also related to some brainwave, certain brainwave patterns. And so we want to give back to the brain these missing patterns or these missing frequencies. And the dolphins do that with us in the water. They're like natural balancers. You know, they just do it with each other. They're using their sonar. They're swimming along. They see you. They see anyone. Zap. They're zapping you. And they're putting you into balance again. And they can provide the missing sounds and alleviate diseases and emotional imbalances and things such as that. So I think, and bear with me a few minutes, because I think this is very fascinating. There's a whole information about Pythagoras and Kepler. They determined that our musical notes, that the musical notes that we use now, every day in our lives.
Wait a minute, I know Pythagoras, but I don't know who Kepler is.
Well, he was the one who suggested that the extreme points of the elliptical orbit of each planet at its farthest distance from the sun remains nearly constant, and that these constant points were used to create the numeric formulas that constitute the musical scale that we use today.
So he's an astrophysicist, and of course Pythagoras is known for his geometries, sacred geometries.
That's right, yeah. And they found that all the elements in our body, the elements that we're made up of, have a unique frequency. And, of course, these elements are related to the planets, because the planets are composed of these same frequencies, the same elements. And so, as is probably no surprise, we have the frequency of the planets in our bodies. So, see, we're already related to those extraterrestrial bodies of light out there. So, when you consider that we each have a signature sound that reflects our psychological and physical state, well, then you can realize, again, how the dolphins and whales are assisting us and how the ETs also are working with us to bring that into balance. So we can also by our brainwave pattern. For instance, every person has a brainwave pattern, and as we're all resonating it, it creates a pattern for the entire Earth. So now our planet Earth is resonating a pattern that other beings of light, other ETs and other planets can identify and recognize. And by this pattern, they can tell a lot about who we are. They can determine our level of spiritual growth on this planet. They can determine if we're ready to make contact or not. And this is what's happening, I think, is so many beautiful people here now are aware of meditating, of choosing love in their life, of expressing that love, changing their vibrational frequency, and really uplifting the Earth. So the dolphins are helping with that, the whales are helping with that, and we're moving into these higher frequencies of light that includes the ETs.
That's fascinating. I think when you talk about sound healing, one always thinks about the dolphins and whales and their wonderful sounds. And also when we're in the water with them and we're hearing their sounds around us and our body is feeling it, it's literally as if they can just shoot sound right through us, as they actually do with their sonar capabilities. And I think probably, as many of those people might assume, those sounds actually act to balance out our energy centers. Those so-called chakra points of our body are being naturally balanced by these sound frequencies that we share in the water with the dolphins and the whales. I think there must be a little bit of difference, because everybody seems to respond to these kinds of sounds differently. There's actually some studies that have shown that autistic children and some other physically and mentally challenged humans have been positively affected by dolphin sounds. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've had some experience with that. Some people have had more than I, but I work sometimes with an organization called Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they bring children who, it's actually their dying wish to swim with the dolphins. It's very special right now, because the children, some of them very young, are choosing to be with the free-swimming dolphins. There was a time when they would always be brought with the captive ones, but now they want to experience the full range of frequencies of the free-swimming ones. And so when we go out together with the dolphins, it seems that, for instance, in the case of children with autism, this is one of the theories anyway, that there's a part right at the where the skull and the spine meet that is atrophied, and that the dolphins seem to sonar that very place and activate it. Now, my personal experiences with some of these children is after they've been in the water with the dolphins, they become much more interactive with people. Normally, they're very withdrawn. And I have the wonderful experience of watching this happen with the children. I remember one family brought their 11-year-old girl from Japan, and she really wanted to be with the dolphins, although she wasn't talking much, but I could tell she couldn't wait to be in the water. And when she was in the water, she didn't worry about anything. She had no fears. She had a boogie board, and she just let herself go floating away. I had to swim and catch up with her. She was completely happy in the water. And the dolphins came around. She was making some sounds, just kind of grunts, things like that. But the dolphins responded to her, and she didn't want to come out at all. We left her stay in there as long as she possibly could. And her parents were in a little zodiac. They didn't know how to swim, so they stayed in there and watched and were very moved. They were in tears watching the experience. But when they came back to shore, the little girl walked over to a bush that had a flower on it. And I always remember this. And she picked it, and she brought it over, and then she handed it to me and actually looked into my eyes. And it was a very touching moment, very beautiful. So as many children with tumors, with leukemia, paralysis, different problems that come, and we have a lot of doctors and other people reporting back about the success of the experience. Being close to nature, being in the ocean, being with the dolphins, all of that.
I've also had some rich experiences with physically challenged children. One little girl from England was quite rich The dolphin seemed to respond to her directly, and on some level, completely nonverbal, I was able to communicate or watch them communicate with her. Well, we're coming up at the top of the hour again. We'll take a little brief break. We'll take a breather at this end and introduce some more music from The Calling, which seems to be our theme music for this show today. When we come back, Joan will be sharing some more information, some astounding information about what the dolphins have shown her called a window of time, which I think is related to everything about what we're talking. So without further ado, I'll fade back into The Calling and be back with you in just a few. This is a live internet broadcast. It's being sponsored by Photon.net. For some of you who may have just joined us, Photon is an internet service. They're providing this live broadcast. It's easy to get to internet with Photon.net. Right now they're providing over 28,000 local dial-up numbers across the United States and Hawaii, and a wide range of professional internet services like web hosting, e-commerce, multimedia broadcasting, virtual tours, webmail, and much, much more. Please visit photon.net on the web at www.photon, that's spelled P-H-O-T-O-N.net. And as a special for this broadcast today, anyone who's listening is entitled to receive a free setup and free first month of web hosting service or nationwide internet access on photon.net. Just use referral code Joan Ocean when signing up, and your first month is going to be free. So I think that's very generous of Randy and the people at Photon.net for giving their time. I'd also encourage you to support DolphinVille.com. One way that you can do that is go ahead and become a member of DolphinVille.com. It's free to sign up. And then if you're so interested at this giving time of year, and you might find some really cool things on our gift store, CDs from Andrew Forrest, who's a well-known musician and composer, Joan Ocean's products, her books, her CD, which is a whale CD, a beautiful meditation, artwork by Jean-Luc Bazzoli, and other gallery artists such as Andrew Annenberg and Alex Gray. Not to mention some brand new items on the gift store. It's some DVDs, special DVD called Bliss Caps by Jason and the Nine. I think it would be worth checking out. You can link to that website through Dolphinville, as well as a marvelous DVD called Globus. I'm recommending all these things and plugging it heavily. So returning to our guest, Joan Ocean. Joan has been a dolphin communicator and somebody who has been researching the communication with another intelligent species on our planet and intelligent species off planet. So, Joan, welcome back. And we're back live with Joan Ocean.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, I wanted to say a little more about vibrational frequencies. And I think anyone who's ever been in the water with the dolphins is so aware of them. And I first began to realize the power of them in the early 1990s. I noticed that when I would be swimming with the dolphins and they'd be side by side next to me for hours, that I would really move into an altered state of awareness. And I didn't really notice it at the time, because in the water it's just a natural state, it's an expanded state. And then one day somebody swam up really close to me and said, "Hi, Joan," and they startled me. And because of that, I kind of moved out of this expanded state very suddenly, and then realized, wow, where was I, that I just got brought back. So I'm aware that the dolphins are interacting with us in that way. And what happened was I began to listen to their sounds. There was one dolphin in particular named Lumpy. Lumpy was my my sound teacher. He would make me practice. I would imitate his sounds. And he would swim ahead of me, and he would make a sound, and then I would make it as best I could. And he kept going ahead, and then I would keep imitating him, and he'd make a sound, and I would, and he would, and I would. And finally, he'd get so far ahead, I couldn't hear his sound anymore. I'd be straining to listen. I couldn't hear it. So at that point, when I stopped making sounds, he would then very kindly swim back alongside me, and we'd begin again. And after doing this over long periods of time, day after day, month after month, my hearing improved and my feeling of sounds because of it. So I began to think about their sounds more and what was the significance of it. And that was when I remembered an experience that happened to me that you alluded to before, Window in Time, something that happened to me in a bookstore in Del Mar, California. I think that bookstore is still there now. And it was in, 1977 or around that time, the 1970s. And it was an experience of frozen time. It's kind of interesting because in the X-Men film that came out, I think it's either, I don't know if it's one or two, but they show an experience of frozen time in there. And in this experience, which I wrote about in my second book, there was music playing in the background, and I was in this bookstore. It was a very nice place. I was browsing, looking at books, and the music in the background started to escalate, going higher and higher up the scale. And at some point, it hit a very high note. And I felt like a chill all over my body at that moment, and didn't think too much about it, went back to reading. And then I began to hear the music again, doing the same series of notes going higher and higher and higher. And this time, I sensed that I was being pulled into that sound as before, but this time I chose not to. So I pulled my energy out of it, and the music went higher and higher, and it hit this very high note. Now, people always ask me, what was that song? But I don't know. I never asked. But I think it was important for me to have this experience, because it hit this high note, and when that happened, everybody in that store froze in place. They stopped moving. And for some reason, I was able to move around and look at the people and say to them, why aren't you moving? What's wrong with you? I was very upset to see that. I couldn't understand it. People were halfway turning a book or walking out the door or giving change back at the cash register. And they were frozen in place. Well, it was such an unusual happening that I really made note of it, and I never forgot it. I wrote it down. Well, I began to realize that this is what's also happening with us, with the dolphins in the water. And it relates to a very high-pitched sound that they make. Now, for those of you who have my video, you'll hear that sound throughout that video. It's a very high note. And, of course, we can only hear a small portion of their notes. A lot of the sounds they're making go far beyond our ability to hear them, higher and lower. So when this is happening, it is like time stands still. We go into another reality of time and space. And sometimes, you know, these alternate realities, they have a different relationship to time, in that 5 minutes on our Earth time could be 2 weeks, so to speak, in another space. And so we may suddenly have this experience of lost time or extended time while we are swimming or listening to these high-pitched sounds of the dolphins. And what I learned about, and the dolphins explained to me, and I know this is a little hard concept for people to get their mind around, but they told me that they arrived here on this planet in this time period through a window in time, is what they called it. And that is a situation where time stood still on planet Earth. And then the entire family of dolphins came into the ocean at that time. They came in not only just themselves in physical form, but also with all the history of dolphins put into place now on planet Earth.
Cetacean consciousness was kind of injected into the planetary consciousness at one point in time, you're saying?
That's what they told me. And that's why now there's so many people interested in dolphins where they didn't used to be previously. They said, you know, everything, the hieroglyphs, the petroglyphs, the myths and legends, the Roman and Greek stories, all of that information was brought into our awareness, into the awareness of every human being already incarnated on planet Earth, into our belief system, into our history, into our books, and they came in. Now, they have since then explained it more fully, and I think during the time of like the harmonic concordance, we have experienced things like that. We, as light workers, are working with that field of energy now. As you know, this is a free will planet, and nobody intervenes or comes in here without our permission. All of those beings out there, the loving beings of light, who are following universal law, would not come in unless we ask them. And that would be true even of bringing in a population of aware dolphins. But so many people on the planet now, incarnated over the past 50 years, certainly, and were calling for assistance, calling for help. And so these light beings could come in and help us. And so this concept of horizontal and vertical time that we experience for the concordance, I believe, is an experience of, if very simply, or simplifying it very much, you see Earth's trajectory as a linear line or a horizontal line. We see it as going from past, present, and future. And then at some point, with great, great care, a civilization, beings, or the dolphins, can come down vertically and come into that horizontal line and merge and become part of our existence. And on the concordance, and also this is an experience we had when we had our portal gathering on August 12, 2003, a very significant day. When there are this many light beings all around the world focusing on the energy of love, we can create a vertical intervention and bring that new awareness onto planet Earth and have it merge with the present reality and assist in uplifting the planet.
You're right. Some of these concepts may be a little bit hard for people to get their heads around. It does parallel a lot of the things and ideas and concepts that were shown in the movie The Matrix. In fact, the sequence you're talking about where people were frozen in time, except for the main characters Morpheus and Neo, showed a very similar kind of situation where everything had stopped except for them. And also, I think your description of how reality tunnels has been described, or these particular portals of dimensional awareness intervene into our linear concept of time and space. These kinds were toyed with the Matrix as well. So I think our contemporary culture is starting to open up, and we're seeing more and more people willing to accept that what we were taught in eighth grade science isn't exactly all that there is going on around us. And more people opening up to this and saying yes to these alternative realities are actually giving them the ability to have an impression and work with us in the contemporary culture. It's exciting times we live in.
Yeah, there's so much more going on out there than we realize, and it's wonderful to really be experiencing it now. Feelings seems to be the best way to do it. Just trust what comes to you. Trust the feelings you have. Allow them in. And, you know, sometimes you might see something out of the corner of your eye. You might have a flash that comes, another reality, another experience, a being, a light being coming to you. Really trust that. Begin to put your emphasis on that part of reality instead of always trying to find a rational explanation. Rational is good, but just to keep it balanced and begin to open to all these other fields of energy that are also around us. I've been having contact lately with the elves at the ranch, and that's been wonderful. I've only been living at the ranch for, it's going on 5 years.
So the nature spirits, elves and fairies and whatnot are also part of these other dimensional realms, do you feel?
Yes, yeah, and they're very willing to help us, and they're just thrilled if we acknowledge them and know that they're there. When we had the portal gathering in August, we had a big fire and all 44 of us sitting around the fire, and at some point, mostly the women, saw these little beings, like, dancing around the fire. And we were wondering, well, is this the ETs? You know, what is this? Who are these? Well, the elves said that it was the elves that had come to celebrate that we had made, like, a big fairy ring sitting in a circle around the fire. And they were dancing with joy, and they were so pleased when some of the women got up to dance with them. So I'm happy to be in contact with them. They're assisting us a lot at the ranch as far as where to plant things and how to take care of the sacred ohia trees that are on the land and the animals, too.
I want to know where they're making the cookies.
Oh, that's right. Now, wasn't that Michael, the angel? He always smelled like cookies.
Smelled like cookies, but it's the little elves who are producing those things. Tell us a little bit.
I got to find that out.
You mentioned Sky Ranch. Can you tell us a little bit about Sky Ranch?
Well, that's my home, actually, and it's way up the top of a hill, so I like the feeling of driving there. It feels like you're going to just keep going straight up into the clouds. The clouds come from time to time, and we have learned that our extraterrestrial friends are in contact with us, and you'll often experience the ship completely surrounding the ranch. They will come very low. It's interesting because I used to think, well, I needed to see a metal kind of a UFO flying saucer in the sky, and that's what I was always looking for, and I have seen those, and a number of people in the seminars with me have seen those too. But now more and more, again, it's about frequencies, and as the Arcturians have pointed out, they live in a more refined density than people on Earth. So, whereas we might have physical matter here and the density that exists here, for their fifth and sixth dimensional existence, their ships are more like the density of clouds, what would look like clouds to us. And so, a lot of times, what's called lenticular clouds, well, just keep looking at those clouds and see what else you can see there. Lisa Denning has taken some wonderful photographs of them right over this island that are on her website and my website. And we have learned, and they have agreed, that if you will acknowledge them and say hi to these beautiful clouds, they will send a beautiful beam of love to you in acknowledgement in return. So that happens a lot up at the ranch, along with enjoying my donkeys and miniature horse up there. I have to mention them.
Donkeys and horses, the other extraterrestrials.
That's right. They are. Every animal lover can appreciate all the gifts that we receive from these wonderful animals, all of them now. They're teaching us so much. They are really developing their own consciousness and assisting us with ours.
Your description of the donkeys actually joining in a meditation and coming in to lead the way and accepting and saying yes to the other presences which were part of that meditation. I thought that was really quite moving, and everybody seemed to relax that if it was okay for the donkeys to go up and commune with these other worldly entities, then it must surely be okay for humans to do so.
Yes, that was a beautiful experience. And it seems, just as you say, that when the people saw that the dolphins were unafraid, dolphins, the donkeys were unafraid. I said I'm going to write my next book. It's going to be From Dolphins to Donkeys. So I guess I'm doing it already. But when the donkeys were unafraid and approached the ship, then the people felt safe and were able to trust also and felt the love. And that story is on my website, both of my websites under the title of E.T. Contact. But yes, they're an important part of the experience there.
Maybe you can explain to us what your interpretation of an E.T. is.
Yes, I really wanted to do that today before we go any further. It's very important to understand what I'm talking about. I use the term E.T. just because it's easy. People kind of have an idea what that is. It was popularized by Steven Spielberg, and in a very loving way, E.T. standing for extraterrestrial, when actually there's more than extraterrestrial, there's interterrestrial and parallel universes and many other ways of understanding these beings. But I'd like to actually share a definition. It's a little bit long, but I think it's important that everyone out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. So who are the extraterrestrials? Well, when I use the term extraterrestrial or ET, I'm talking about sentient, aware life forms that are living or vibrating beyond the average Earth human ability to see them, and who live within a field of light energy that is benevolent, compassionate, and connected to the greater refined source or light of love. This greater light lends itself to expanding life on a universal level for the sake of continuing evolution into higher frequencies of consciousness. And again, we know of this as love. Now, these beings that are referred to as ETs, they may live in the oceans of Earth. They're not on terra firma, they're in the ocean. They may live underground and within the center of the Earth. I'm talking about people. They're often people, visible and invisible to us, and people living on other planets and in other planes, in other time zones, and other patterns and spatial realities. So, as you can see, it's a very wide area. I am able to see and feel and telepathically communicate with these ethereal loved ones and souls, these celestial light beings. And in most cases, their body types are efficient for space travel because they don't have the same relationship to gravity that we have on Earth. And they have knowledge of parallel universes with a consciousness that can transcend time and space. And that's really how traveling is happening, through consciousness in most cases. Sometimes they have larger heads to accommodate their highly evolved brains. And these are advanced forms of life. And I like to mention, too, that when I'm talking about ETs, it does not include clones or robots or drones that have no will of their own, you know, ones that have been created. I'm not including lost souls, sometimes take up residence, unwelcome residence in people's bodies. I'm not talking about projections into the mind with holographic visions that have been artificially induced for unethical purposes. So sometimes people wonder, well, how can I tell the difference? Is this a real ET I'm seeing? Or is it a holographic image that's being projected into my room or into my awareness? How can I tell the difference? And I have counseled with many people who were concerned because they were having ET contact and they didn't understand it. And they didn't really know what was happening. And what I find is the best way of knowing who's there is by your feelings. If you feel love from them, if you can feel from them what you feel when you're with the dolphins and whales, then you know these are beings of love. If you don't feel that, whether it's because of your own fear that's being reflected back to you, or because they may not be positive beings, then it's important to be assertive and say, no, I don't want you here, or not at this time, I'm not ready, and just let them know. I find that it's important for people to not think they just have to accept whatever comes, you know.
I think those are all important words, and thank you so much for the insights into your impressions of what the ET intelligence is. Well, we're coming up at the bottom of the hour. I wanted people to hear a few minutes of the lovely and beautiful CD that you've made for people. It's called For Whale Lovers Only. And I'll just play a little bit of the introduction so that people can get an idea of how you'd like to lead your meditations. And often we'll be able to very gently take people into these shifted states of awareness so they can open up to some of these realms. When we come back after that little short interlude, maybe we can address some of the questions that have been coming in over the internet. And if you do have some questions out there, once again, that email address is broadcast@dolphinville.com. And when we come back after these few interludes, we'll address some of those. Thanks for hanging in there. Talk to you in a minute.
Welcome to the world of the humpback whales. This is Joan Ocean meditating with you today, swimming with you in the deep, quiet waters of the ocean, the home of the most advanced species on planet Earth, the whales. Moving silently through currents and coral in the underwater world, the whales communicate with us in a tonal language that reverberates and echoes, encircling the globe for thousands of miles, communicating with the Earth herself. The whales navigate by the stars, the sun, and solar influences, aware of the cycles and seasons of a universal calendar. Creators of energy patterns, botanists, geologists, marine scientists, transmitting balancing frequencies to the Earth, carrying small worlds of life-supporting ecosystems on their bodies, depositing them in different parts of the ocean, sounding the Earth, loving her. They are co-creators of this known world and many others we do not know. They are in the physical, yet living in the realms of pure energy. Understanding how we can domain change, transform matter, expand into worlds beyond linear time and space, enter many dimensions. Let us enter these dimensions with the whales now.
listening. Listening now to the sounds of the mighty whales breathing.
Last half hour of Dolphinville's presentation of Joan Ocean's live comments. And I wanted to address some of the questions that have come in. And many of you may have been stimulated by what you said, and some of the questions that you've had may have already been answered. But there was an interesting question that came in from Dr. John, and it said he wanted to know more about the current ET situation on Earth and what's happening at this moment. And is there an opportunity that's being opened up for our evolutionary possibilities, opened up by the ET presence? And can we expect ET helpers nudging us along at this time?
Oh, yes, that's my favorite subject. I think it's obvious, probably to even many people listening to this radio broadcast, that we are receiving a lot of help. And there are so many things going on, even on a physical level. I'm very aware of things where the ETs are helping the Earth to go through some of these changes. For instance, at one point they told me that even in the case of the sun flares, that they were able to work with solar energy and help protect the Earth from the intensity of those solar flares. I've also, I read a report, I remember, last November in Turkey, where many people, 25, 35 people, saw a object moving toward Turkey. It looked like an asteroid, and then suddenly there was a sighting of a few ships, three of them, that seemed to shoot some kind of razor-like beam at the asteroid and broke it apart and prevented it from coming into onto the land and damaging it. I've also seen footage where the volcano in Mexico City, I call it Mount Popo, but I know it has a longer name than that, the energy was building, the volcano was about to erupt. The people who lived at the bottom of the mountain and in the vicinity were asked to leave. And the scientists were looking at their graph showing the heat in the volcano building and growing higher and higher. And there was a lot of smoke at the top of the volcano as it was preparing, really, to blow. And suddenly, you see on the video they took a UFO come into sight amid the smoke, and as it hovers there above the volcano, you can watch on the graph that the energy, that the heat, the fire, and the intensity of the volcano is lessened, and it moves down, down, down until it becomes quiet again. In addition, we have a number of witnesses who are involved with the Disclosure Project of Dr. Stephen Greer, who have been there and have seen when ETs hovered above the missile sites in a number of different locations and rendered the missiles inactive, really made them shut down so that they could not be used. So they are very present right now with us. They are helping us in many, many ways, and we don't always see it. In addition to that, we are experiencing, I think many people are feeling, that everything seems to be going faster now. Time is sped up. And that has to do with our vibrational frequency increasing. And the ETs are helping us because, well, I have to say, I've had some personal experiences of being on what we call a ship. And I have seen when we travel to different locations around the planet, and there are some areas where the energy is very intense, perhaps people's emotions are very volatile, and the energy is unhealthy for the planet and the people, and the ships are able to send out a balancing energy to interact with that so that it won't be as strong and as negative, as we might say, in that area. And then in other places where perhaps we could use more of the higher frequencies of light, they've been sending out that ray to those areas. I've watched them do that and work with balancing the whole Earth and with people. There's a lot more I look forward to sharing with you about this. And really, I encourage people not only to send in questions, but if there's a subject matter you'd like me to talk about that has to do with dolphins, whales, and our extraterrestrial friends, then just send in that. And when the time is right, I'm happy to talk about it. So I feel that when we are in meditation, when we are in special places in nature, we can easily call upon our ET friends to interact with us and send us whatever we each individually need for our own spiritual growth. And they will help us. They will give us ideas and inspirations that will assist us. They will probably give us information like, maybe you should move to Hawaii. A lot of people are getting that now. where is your water? Where is your food? Where are your friends and soulmates? It's a time right now where beings of light, soul groups, are finding each other and coming together. And so listen to the call, respect the call, and go where your heart sings. That's really important.
That's a wonderful message. I'm curious, though, but in our cultural matrix, there's so much negative information that seems to be associated with abductions and what have you that people have focused on. And how do you address that? And have you had any particular experiences with what people might consider the negative or dark ETs?
Yes, I know that comes up a lot. And I'm not such a good one to address it in that I've never had contact with them myself. I just haven't opened myself to that. I have expected them to be loving and kind, and they have been. As I mentioned before, I've had contact with other people who felt afraid. And that there are different factions. Often the government, or the secret government, I should say, to make that clear, it's not really all of our elected officials who may not know any more about it than you do, but just a certain group of people who are interacting with some ETs for their own personal gain. And that does seem to be happening, but it's a very small renegade group that are interacting, and I don't think they're going to be on this planet very much longer. They seem to have violated some of the universal laws about interference, and it's not permitted. So the ETs that I'm in contact with, which mostly has to do with the Arcturians, the Sirians, the Pleiadians, and the Galactic Federation or Council, they act very similar to dolphins and whales. They have an attitude of non-interference. They don't really take measures to prevent something as far as interfering with other people's soul path. If these beings are here on Earth and interacting with people who have welcomed them in the secret governments of Earth, then they allow that to be. And it's really up to us, as Earth people living here on this planet, to change that, to stand up for what we want, to really create this beautiful space. And I think that's such an important part of it. It's really about co-creation. And I always feel like I can never mention this often enough, that it's not that we should look up to angels, archangels, ETs, and think they're like gods that are going to give us the answer and save us. It's not that way. Just like with the dolphins, the communications involve a co-creation. So they bring in some information, we bring in some information, and we all put it together and mix it up, and as I like to say, we make a beautiful cake. So it's a co-creation, and they will work with us, and we will work with them. And if we need assistance that they can provide, they will. And they will also be interested in learning about our culture. As the ETs have said, what they enjoy most is seeing people evolve into higher levels of consciousness. That brings them so much joy, and it assists the entire solar system to evolve also. We are not alone. All of the planets are evolving with us, and we're going into higher and higher realms of light. So the more that we can do in our personal lives, the more we can do to help that.
Mm-hmm. So if you put out a negative vibration, chances are you might get reflected back. So how do you oppose that? By just letting go of these negative vibrations and hopefully project something that's positive and get back some positive feedback. The dolphins actually are great reflectors of that same kind of attitude whenever you come in contact with them. One of the other questions was asking if they were from one of our listeners who was saying they're inland and they don't have a chance to get in the water with dolphins. How can they reach out to connect with the dolphins?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, definitely. The dolphins, their frequency really encircles the planet. So they are there with you whenever you feel in your heart you want to be with them. Some people like to look at a video of them or visualize them or any way they can to bring them in, but you don't need any of that. You can just go into a quiet space and ask them again to be there, and they'll interact with you. I find when I'm traveling, I really like to listen to their sounds, to get a CD or a cassette with dolphin sounds on it, just pure sounds, even without music, and let them speak to you through those. So there are many ways. I often have shared the story of, it was a little article I read in the LA Times, and it was about, I think it was a Cadillac car. It said people were going up Highway 1, right along the ocean there in California, and something was happening to their cars. The lock buttons were popping up and down, and the trunks of their car were popping open right while they're driving. So it was a bit of a concern, and they had to return them to the dealer. And they checked. The dealer was trying to find out what is causing this to happen. And they checked all different radio waves, and finally they were able to realize what it was. And it was the sounds of the migrating whales as they were going up the coast. So I like this example because it shows that the sounds from the whales were actually going onto the land and affecting the technology there. I often find the dolphins come to me right in my computer. I'll be starting to write, and all of a sudden some message starts writing, and I say, who's there? And it's the dolphins. They like crystals, and I think there's still crystals in the computer, and they interact with the crystals very much. So that's another recommendation for that very thoughtful person who would like to be with them and to be with your crystal and talk to them with the crystal.
One of our listeners named Betsy asked if she can sing and play an instrument for the dolphins, and even if they like violin music. And do you think that they might hear her if she's playing her instrument to them?
Oh, they love music. They just love it. And when someone is playing it, then they can feel who you are through your playing of that instrument. So it's a wonderful way to communicate. And violin makes a lot of the sounds the dolphins can make. So it's a very exciting instrument to play to them and with them.
We have a virtuoso violinist here on the Big Island by the name of Tony Salvage. Tony's beautiful instrumentation was part of an archival file, and we played a lot of his sounds where he's been able to replicate the incredible whale and sounds. From my own personal experience, we were hosting a Japanese musician a few years back in a television show putting together. His name was Togi, playing a beautiful ancient reed instrument. And I noticed while he was out in the boats and we were filming him with the dolphins that they responded directly to his implementation of his instrument. But even more importantly, before he started to play at all, I recall him looking up. And as musicians often do, they play the music in their head all the time. And he's a composer and quite a musician. And it occurred to me that Togi was playing his music to the dolphins without even lifting an instrument. And the dolphins were responding at that time. So I'm convinced that it's both playing the music physically as well as playing from the mind center, projecting out that heart song, if you will, music from inside that they are very capable of listening to and tuning into. Does that make sense to you, Joan?
Yes, absolutely. That's so true. He's a wonderful violinist, too, mm-hmm. full of heart. I wanted to share with everyone just a very brief message from the dolphins. I actually had a lot I wanted to share with you, but the time has gone by so fast, so we will tune in again next Monday. But just some of the qualities of the dolphins that we also appreciate in our own lives and we can bring forth in our own lives So just take a moment to sit quietly, maybe close your eyes, and think of the importance of these qualities that the dolphins show us. Serenity, grace, living in community, joy, touching, wisdom, and love. And the dolphin said that as we solve problems in our own lives, we solve the problems of planet Earth. The Earth is outpicturing who we are. So when we live a serene, peaceful, stress-free life, that is when the world will also be at peace. And that is when we will evolve into the fifth dimension. So our own physical life experience is really the road to transformation. Using the frequencies of harmony in your physical body, you then translate to the next realm. Truth, integrity, trust creates the light body for ascension. Ascension into more and more radiant streams of love. And we are going there together. And that's what makes it so much fun.
And I heard the gecko chirping on that one. I'm sure there was an agreement on all of the Devic realms and the multidimensional realities that are overlapping for this. Some of the other questions that have been coming in, Lucy's having a little time trying to understand the concept of the vertical time and window in time.
Oh.
And perhaps some of our listeners are struggling with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is a bit to get your head around, and maybe you can help us approach that a little bit differently so that we can get another understanding of how they're influencing that.
All right. Well, it really is about the timeline that we experience in three-dimensional reality on Earth. Again, we experience it as having a past, a present, and a future. And because we do experience it that way, we can have it intercepted. Beings can intercept that. They can come into our three-dimensional understanding and bring in this whole piece of information or feeling or vibration or love or a tone. And again, it relates to that window in time where everything is momentarily stopped. And realize that when that happens, and we don't know how many times that really may happen in our life, you have no idea if it happens. You can't tell. Because when it moves again, you're doing what you were doing, and you may have not realized it. You may feel a chill or an unusual feeling for a moment. But we can use frequencies to stop and to intervene with the current three-dimensional timeline of planet Earth. It's not done easily. It's not done taken lightly. It's only for very significant information or frequencies that have to come in. And to me, it helps us to understand how much we are loved by these beings of light, by the dolphins and whales, who will do everything possible to assist us to move forward, to evolve, to grow in the light. And this is the way they are doing it. This is one of the ways. And again, when they do that, they bring in everything into our belief systems, into our brain waves, the brain wave of the planet, all of the information that's needed to create this new reality on planet Earth.
That's fabulous. I'm so happy that you can share that, and I know that this will be something that people will have a little struggle with. It was only a few short hundred years ago that people still thought that the Earth was flat, and that the whole concept that we lived on a globe floating around the sun in a central solar system was very foreign. People were thinking in two-dimensional terms back then. We've only just recently, in the last 100 years or so, begun to think in three-dimensional terms. And although the science and arts and philosophies have brought us up to speed, we're now ready to shift gears again to an entirely new level of consciousness, a new level of thinking of ourselves beyond just the third dimension and into other possible multiple realities. So this idea of the time intervention, being able to freeze frame, so to speak, in between the moments of our existence, is also lined up with the idea of parallel universes, wormholes, stargates, all kinds of things that we'll try to get into in some of the programs that will be coming up. Joan has got much, much more information to share. We're running a little bit late on today's program, and so rather than getting involved in another section of information related to some of the things that she wants to share, I think it's time that we started to try to wrap up some things. Joan, you have some closing comments that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, I would like to mention that I do look forward to hearing any suggestions you have about what you'd like to hear, and I'm very happy to speak more in future broadcasts about the behavior of the dolphins, their special physiological abilities, some of their actual ways of being in the physical on planet Earth, and how they excel in many areas of that. Also, I look forward to sharing with you information about the whales, the whale channeling, and, of course, more information about our extraterrestrial friends. So please, at any time, just send in questions and subjects. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Joan. This has been an experiment in time and space. I also would suggest that anybody who would like to provide some suggestions for how to make this show more more enlightening and entertaining, and any suggestions that you might have to run more smoothly for us, it would be greatly appreciated. As I say, we're going to have some upcoming shows in the next few weeks. On Monday, we're going to meet here with Joan. She'll be sharing some more information. And once again, just to acknowledge that Photon.net has been very, very generous in donating the wide bandwidth that has enabled this program to go out to the Internet. Maybe if this is of interest to you, you would share this with other people and tell them next week at the same time we'll be putting out another another show. Sharing more information. I know that Joan is a wealth of information. She has things that are coming in on a moment-to-moment, daily basis. So it's not as if you're going to be hearing the same things next week or the week after. In fact, there's several pages that she wasn't even able to get to. So once again, this is Dolphinville Radio, and it's a part of Dolphinville.com. I would encourage people who want to hear this show, the archival files will be available to the members that can sign up for free by going to dolphinville.com. My sincere thanks to Joan for being here, to agreeing to doing this, and to Randy, who's the president and founder of Photon.net, for being the operator and helping all of these functions to go smoothly. And I'd love to thank all of you for listening and making this a part of your day. And hopefully this has been interesting enough so that you might tune in next time. And until that time, I'm wishing you the very best. And what the dolphin said to me was to be well and to swim free. So until the next time, this is Dolphinus saying so long. See ya.